over the weekend, Russia and Ukraine launched their largest drone attacks against each other since the start of the war nearly 3 years ago. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, have things quieted down there today?
Hey, Bob. Hello from Kyiv. Well, yes, they're quiet at the moment, but we've had threats and warnings of a massive Russian missile attack for many hours since about 6 o'clock this morning. Nothing has materialized yet, so we're sort of on pins and needles here. But indeed, it was actually over the weekend, it was Russia's largest ever drone attack upon Ukraine. And that sort of gets a little bit missed in the headlines and the coverage because, okay, so Ukraine did send drones toward Moscow and other places within Russia. Not a lot, but the most they've ever done in a short period of time. You know, usually Moscow does not see any aspect of the war. Moscow does not get bombed. You know, even Russian cities just over the line into Russia really do not, you know, there's no missiles or drones hitting those places on a regular basis. And that often gets missed here. One reason for that is that, you know, Washington continues to prevent Ukraine from using long-range weapons to hit targets deep within Russia. So it was Ukraine did have, which, you know, could have might have been seen as a success, one of its it seemed its biggest ever drone attack on Russian targets. But what Russia did to Ukraine over the weekend absolutely dwarfed what Ukraine was trying to do in Russia. And it seems there was more than 145 of those Iranian-designed Shahed drones striking throughout Ukraine in about a 30-hour period. And, you know, absolute madness, because every few minutes, like here in Kyiv, for example, if almost every few minutes you had reports of drones coming toward the city. And this weekend was a lot better here in Kyiv, I could say, than last weekend. Last weekend, the Russian drones were inside the city. I mean, they really were evading the air defense. You could, you know, as I reported to you, I could hear them flying in between the buildings. You know, I mean, very, very close to the center of the city. That did not happen this weekend. They were, either the Russians were seeking targets outside of the city, or they were kept away by air defense. But it was the biggest single Russian drone onslaught on Ukraine. And, you know, today, Veterans Day in the U.S. Or in the United Kingdom, Remembrance Day, marking the end of World War One at the 11th hour of the 11th day in the 11th month of 1918. And, you know, back then, you know, so many people thought, oh, at last, you know, no more big wars. And a common question talking with Ukrainians here, you know, this idea of never forget. Does that mean never do this again? Or does it mean keep repeating? Like, we remember it so much that we keep doing it over and over. And so as we, you know, begin, you know, this morning began this Veterans Day and Remembrance Day here in Ukraine. We had these reports of 24 Russian bombers, which is, you know, that signifies a massive, massive attack taking off over the Russian Federation. And again, because of the restrictions that Washington places on Ukraine and on other countries who want to help Ukraine, Ukraine can't hit these bombers. They can't hit the places from which the bombers take off. They have to wait until the missiles arrive here in Ukraine, and then they can defend, but they can't go on offense. And so it is very strange that despite these clear indications of massive Russian bomber activity, now it's 3:20 p.m. And there's nothing that's happened. It's sort of a weird phantom. And I went this morning to get coffee in Kyiv about 8 o'clock. And, you know, everyone thought then that the attack was going to be imminent. And yet people are going to work. I go to the coffee shop. Everyone's very friendly. You know, it's always a strange juxtaposition. But you feel like, you know, something wicked is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking at the, as I was thinking about, you know, they were looking at the stories of the Veterans Day, Remembrance Day yesterday in London. They have their annual commemoration with the royal family at the War Memorial in the center of London. I was thinking there's a great British show called Foyle's War that I've been watching now and then sort of on background. And it's about a detective in a small town in seaside Britain during World War II. And that show really captures well what it's like to be in a war, even here in Ukraine. A lot of the, you know, the personal drama, the trauma, the stories of the people that you know, run to the fight, and then the people who try to hide, or the people who don't want to fight, but then they volunteer in every way they can. And you also see the stories of the people who seek to profit, including the Americans. Some really uncanny parallels in that show talking about World War II in the UK and today. And but then also some strange not strange, but some obvious differences. For example, in the UK, you know, the Germans, during their air raids, the actual planes were flying over not just London, but places throughout the UK. And, you know, when this war started, I think a lot of people expected it was going to be like that. But Russian planes are not flying over Ukraine except near the front lines. You know, they stay over Russia and they send missiles, you know, sort of from their positions of safety. So you don't have the same type of air raids you would imagine. And because of modern technology, there's a lot of advanced warning for air raids. So when the alarms go off, you never see people running because, you know, you have time to, you know, to get in place. And so there are some big differences. But what is there's a weird way that we're kind of going back to some scenes from World War II. And that's the drone warfare, because, you know, now, I mean, as I really thought about it here the past week with all the increased drone attacks almost every single day, the drones are like those German planes that were flying over London during the Blitz, except they're unmanned. And so they're all kamikaze. You know, they're seeking to hit in the most explosive way possible. And so now, in some sense, there is this weird sort of feeling of what it was like in London during the Blitz when you had these Russian-Iranian drones flying overhead here pretty much every day, sometimes every hour here in Kyiv, in Ukraine.
Can't imagine. We'll have to check that show out. Did you say Foils War is the name of it?
Foils War. It's a brilliant show, and it would help you feel a little bit of what it's like to be here in the war.
Quickly, before we let you go, Joseph, I have to ask you about the big news here today, the Washington Post story about Donald Trump speaking with Putin, discussing the war in Ukraine. Kremlin, of course, denying that this occurred. What are your sources saying about this?
Yeah, it's ambiguous all around. Trump's team is being ambiguous about that call as well. I mean, clearly, I think people in both camps wanted the world to know that that call happened. But there's no clear indication. And I think it's something we can talk about. You know, we will talk about it throughout this coming week. But, you know, the phone calls with Trump and other foreign leaders, the phone call in 2019 between Trump and Zelensky over which Trump was impeached, I think that's going to become very relevant in the coming days and weeks. But it does. The indications were that Trump told Putin not to escalate. And then what we saw, you know, in the hours after that call was a seeming attempt at escalation. These 24 bombers in the air, and yet still nothing has happened. It's very calm today, which is highly, highly unusual for those planes to take off and not to attack. So that's the best I can tell you about that situation.
And we'll have a lot to talk about this week, every day for sure. Joe Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.